My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with one plus negotiations and one plus cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The whole key to sustaining success in this league is to have quarterback play that is top tier and can consistently push you down those roads.
And Mark Grody.
We're allowed to, at this point, Bears fans are allowed to right now, dream big and predict what you want out of the season.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome in to the Take the North podcast. I am Mark Grody of 670 The Score. Joining me today is my partner at 670 The Score, the Raheemy Harrison Grody Show. He is my guy, Marshall Harris. He will be filling in for Dan Wiederer today. So we'll hear from Marshall in just a second to talk about this epic, epic Bears 31-27 playoff victory over the Green Bay Packers. The Bears come back from 18 down to win this game, a game in which the Bears played terribly in the first half. Didn't seem like they had any business winning this game, but they end up winning it. A 25-yard touchdown pass to DJ Moore late in the fourth quarter, specifically a minute 43 left. It's the seventh fourth quarter comeback for the Chicago Bears this year, who, if you add it all up, are now 12-6 on the season. And the Bears advance. They will host a divisional round game against either the Rams or Philadelphia. If the Eagles beat San Francisco on Sunday, it is the Eagles. If not, the Rams will be at Soldier Field on a day and time to be determined. But the Bears' improbable win over the Green Bay Packers. And before we bring in Marshall, Dan Wiederer is here. He has been covering this game. You know, on these late nights, he has so much stuff going on with The Athletic that he can't come on the podcast with us. So we decided, since it was a special occasion, a playoff win and all, Dan and I did a little bit of the old walk and talk. We both were in the locker room, or we were both in the interview room. And on the way back, this is what Dan and I talked about, me basically interviewing our guy, Dan Wiederer.
All right, Dan and I are walking from the locker room right now, literally, back up to the press box. We've been at the podium. We've been in the locker room. Dan, your reactions to this game?
I've got none. It is, honestly, it defies logic. And I said, Grody, it makes so little sense that it makes perfect sense. This team and what they've done all year, it just came back out again tonight.
I couldn't put it into words myself. As I was walking down here, I was doing a video, and I didn't even know what to say, except for I'm heading to the locker room and the Bears beat the Packers. I mean, they had no business winning this game. The defense looked so bad early on, and then they come out in the second half with four straight punts. Unbelievable.
I can't believe how many times this season I've had to revise my story. Yeah. And today, again, it's 21-3 at halftime, and they look like they're left for dead. They can't get a stop to save their lives. The offense can't capitalize on anything. They're going for it on fourth down. They're failing on fourth down, and you just think it's not their night. And then the next thing you know, Grody, here comes the rally, little by little by little. And I did say to Colson Loveland in the locker room, I said, look, like, there were times in that second half where you'd look up and you'd be like, there's a lot of time left, right? Yeah. And I think that swelled up within the team where they believed they could get it done too. And obviously they did little by little.
DJ Moore, again, with the explosive go-ahead touchdown. He talks about how much he loves beating the Packers. Twice now he has done that. What do you say about DJ Moore?
Two-year-old son with him at his locker after the game with the cheese grater hat on his head.
Yeah.
Fun to see that moment. And the play that they hit to him, they get a setup there where they've got the Packers anticipating screen to Luther Burden. They clearly bite on it. Caleb knows he's got a touchdown. DJ knows he's got a touchdown. The ball's in the air, and Soldier Field is on fire, Mark. And those are moments that, with everything that we've gone through with this team, you realize that these things don't come around very often. That was very clear today and in that moment that was going to be something we never forget.
Last thing here, man, because I know you got like 8 stories to write, and we're going to miss you on the Take the North podcast. Obviously, Caleb, what do you say about Caleb?
Yeah, not the best night for most of it, but it doesn't matter because in the end he finds a way to dig deep and he finds his way to put his stamp on these games, and his signature is all over this Bears-Packers rivalry right now. I said to Kevin Vishman as we were walking down to the locker room before the game, the guy that used to tear the Bears' hearts out, Aaron Rodgers, is now in a Bears jersey wearing number 18, right? And Green Bay is feeling the exact opposite of what they used to feel, where it's like now their heart is getting ripped out routinely by this guy that's playing for the Bears. And that's a shift in the rivalry. Caleb said he heard the chatter all week from Green Bay and all the talk that the Packers were putting towards this game. And he said, we heard it. They wanted us. They got us.
Oh, yeah. And a few guys were talking in the locker room about what happened at the 50-yard line before the game. I'll play some of that audio for our audience as well. A couple guys tried to clear up exactly what was going down right there. But, Dan, thank you so much for being on the Take the North podcast. It's been a pleasure to have you. You really, really know your stuff, Mr. Weider.
I'll come on anytime. Let me know when you need me.
And by the way, I do have some really good audio that I'm going to play for you guys, specifically Jaquan Brisker, who's always good, and Kevin Byard. Woof. Thank God it's a podcast because we can allow for I'm warning you right now, there's going to be some bad words coming out of the mouth of Kevin Byard on this podcast here in just a little bit. But Marshall Harris, I'm sorry. I've just left you just sitting there. You're nice enough to stay up this late and do the podcast, but I know you watched every single inch of this game taking notes like you do. What's up, Mars Hall? Your reaction to the Bears win over the Packers?
It's so funny that you talk about bad words on the podcast, because usually before this season it's been all bad words describing the Bears play, right? And now we're to a different place. And I was reflecting on this while I was waiting for you to come on and do this podcast, Grody. Just it's amazing how far we've come from the beginning of this season, when you and I were walking around training camp saying, I don't know, man, it looks like it's going to be a long haul. And it has been a long haul, but in the best way possible. And this culmination, and it's funny because why was I thinking the Bears could not come back from a 21-3 halftime deficit? Why would I even think that based on what I have seen, based on the evidence that has been laid out? I was with, you know, friend of the show, Clay Harbor, last night. We went and saw a show at Second City. So this becomes like the ultimate Chicago weekend for me. And I was like, hey, I predicted the Bears are going to lose to the Packers. And he's like, why? And I told him why. And I said, well, Clay, can you tell me why they're not going to win? He's like, I mean, everything you said is true, Marshall, but they're going to win. And I was like, you're just going to go off vibes? And he's like, yeah, I am. And he was right. And the Bears – I'm not saying what they did in the second half wasn't more than just vibes, but the vibe is there, and you heard Ben Johnson talk about it after the game. He said, this is, whether Mark Grody likes it and thinks it's sustainable or not, this is our actual identity. We don't play great, but we play great when it matters at the end of games.
Yeah,
and they did it yet again.
Hey, man. I also picked the Packers to win this game. And I think that those of us that did, we were using logic. We were using, it wasn't just like some feel thing. It's, you can go inside the numbers. You could watch the two games that were played. You could look at the heavy duty vulnerabilities the Bears defense had coming into this game and really didn't do a whole lot to quell those, except for the work they did in the second half. I mean, that the shutdown they put on in the second half was something to see, because they were a sieve in the first half. So actually, I'll give them some credit for that. So just kind of carrying on what you're saying, it's like, sorry, not sorry that I picked the Packers, but Clay, what a great point by him and by anybody who was watching this game tonight. And when the Bears are down at the half the way they were, 21-3, honestly, it didn't feel like they were going to come back to me, but why would I even think that with this 7 fourth quarter comebacks this year? Why would I even be thinking that I've got the story written already, that we know what the headline's going to be on the Take the North podcast? It's become foolish, and maybe it's taken a little while for some of us to catch up to that semi-charmed kind of life, if I may. I guess what it does too is, and there's two seasons that haunt me recently that you just weren't really sure. 2018, like, they really a team that can advance? And then I go over back to 2001. At least now I could honestly say, or honestly put those seasons away in terms of using this team as an example, because this team just won a playoff game. So while the Bears are still very hard to explain, there is that it factor. There is that I dare you to bet against us. I just dare you to bet against us. You're going to come up looking foolish. And I did. I did. The Bears win this game in improbable fashion.
And you know what's crazy? We talked about this on the show that we do, you know, 10 to 2, Monday through Friday on 670 The Score, Raheem Harrison Grody. I said all he has to do, Ben Johnson, is win this game, and he becomes the best Bears head coach since Lovie Smith. That's Mark Trestman. That's John Fox. That's Matt Nagy. That's Matt Eberflus. He's better than all of them, because you know what? He went out and did something none of them could do. He won a playoff game, and he did it in fantastic and fabulous fashion. And he proved himself right when he said, I enjoy beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. Cause guess what? He just did that. And as much credit as you want to give to the Bears for what happened in the second half, I'm sorry, but Matt LaFleur did an awful job of coaching in the second half of this game. He took his foot off the gas. He was like, oh, well, you know, we need to be able to run the ball. I know you were at the game, so you didn't hear the halftime interview that he gave where he said, you know, we were able to score in the red zone, do the things that, you know, they didn't do the first time they were at Soldier Field. But he said, well, in the second half, we just need to run the ball better, to run it in. And he was like, I'm going to do it my way. And that was dumb, because the Bears had vulnerability and he did not attack it as evenly as he should have. And that's why there were three and outs to start the second half for him.
Yeah, four of them. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, okay, what are they going to do this time? What's the response? Because the Bears were getting hurt. It looked like the same old story in the secondary. And I'm just thinking, how much is there to possibly adjust? And there were some discernible adjustments that were made by the defense in the second half. A couple players were talking about it, and we'll hear from Brisker here in just a little bit on some of that, and actually even more from Brisker. But it did seem just unbelievable that they were able to do that. And no, I did not hear LaFleur at the half, but that's what it felt like. It felt like Green Bay was, they felt pretty comfortable. And maybe in some ways I could see why they felt that way, because they were able to do absolutely anything in the first half of that game. But just looking at the first half stats, the Bears again were down 21-3 after two quarters. Caleb Williams, 78 yards to Jordan Love's 138. Total yards, 231 to 122. Rushing yards, 93 to 44. And then you look at the final numbers, specifically Caleb Williams, 24 of 48, 361, two TDs and two interceptions, while Jordan Love, 24 of 46, 323 and four TDs. There's going to be some icing down of arms after this game.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
In postseason football, you need to find that extra gear. On FanDuel, it's called playoff mode. Big boosts, more rewards, and a whole new way to live parlay with Drive SGP. Turn on playoff mode, only on FanDuel.
New customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at fanduel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
Looking to create the bath you've always dreamed of without all the hassle? The Home Depot makes it easier. Shop fully styled rooms and curated collections to bring your vision to life. Use digital tools to preview flooring and finishes in your space and get everything you need from tubs to tile delivered fast and priced right. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
Grody, Caleb Williams in his first ever playoff game set a record for Bears passing yards in a game with 361. I want you to really think about that. Also, do you remember my key to the game back on the show? I told you they've got to be plus two in the turnovers.
You did.
Minus two in the turnovers. Now, the two turnovers were very like, okay, it's fourth down. It's not a big deal. And if they drop one of those interceptions, they have to have better field position, the Packers do, than what they ended up having when they got the interception. But still, they didn't take the ball away and they won this game.
That's pretty amazing, man. I thought, okay, so here we go again. I didn't think they were going to come back at halftime. I certainly was very worried, and most of me did not think that they would come back after that. Matthew Golden, the 23-yard catch and run, run over, missed tackles, like this little club of missed tackles on the right side.
Did that not remind you of the run that the Packers had on the big third down? Mm-hmm. Yes. Same vibe. I was like, okay.
Same vibe. Yes. Okay. Good call, man. Very good call on that. Yeah. That felt like death. It was 27-6. They did miss the extra point. It was 27-16 Packers right there. Looked over, felt over, because it felt like the Bears had to be perfect at some point. And to me, that was imperfect. You couldn't afford that anymore. Like, if you were going to win this game, you were going to either need luck or flawlessness. And that felt like another death. Dagger, if you will. But then Zacchaeus, what's going on, Alameda Zacchaeus? The 8-yard touchdown catch that made it 27-24 Pack, and then eventually the TD to DJ Moore of 25 yards to ultimately win the game for the Bears. But how were you feeling at that moment, Marshall? Were you also like, that's it, it's over, 27-16 in the third quarter?
Okay, let's go back to the first half. To answer this question, we have to go back to the first half. We're deep in his own territory. Ben Johnson decided to go for it. And I understood why he decided to go for it on fourth down. Do you know the drive I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
They were just going to go. They were Dan Campbelling it. We're going to go for fourth down wherever are. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
And because the Bears took the opening kickoff, understanding the Packers were going to get the second half kickoff, what Ben Johnson didn't want to happen was for him to punt instead of going for it, and for the Packers to use the rest of the clock, score, and then get the ball to start the second half. Because that's how much faith he had in his defense in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I completely understood that. And so at the same time, when Golden scored, I was like, there's still plenty of time here based on how much the Bears have shot themselves in the foot and how many mistakes the Packers have made after halftime. I was worried, but I wasn't. When the extra point was missed, I was like, yeah. y'all leaving this door open. And at that point, I'd gone from no way that you're coming back from 21-3 to, oh, the defense can get a stop.
Once
I saw the Bears defense could get stops, I was like, okay, the Bears have a chance to win this game.
That's hilarious. All right, let's hear a little bit of the audio. By the way, I don't know if you saw this note from our producer Adam Studzinski about, then you might have said that. I think, did you say this? That this is the first game the Bears have won this season without forcing a turnover? Did you mention that?
I knew they hadn't won a game without forcing a turnover this season. That's why I was like, it's so important to be plus on the turnover margin. And in fact, they didn't force a turnover, they were minus two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But let's go to the third quarter with Jaquan Brisker. It's 21-6. And Green Bay, let me make sure I have my thing straight here. Well, let's just play the audio. It's Jaquan Brisker. I think the questions will tell the story. Here's Jaquan.
Really had to lock in. We changed a lot of things up, but everybody just really had to really do their job and just stay focused, wrap up, tackle, and get off the field.
What did you guys change up?
Just our coverage and things like that, and really rushing cover, a lot of, you know, sacks, tip balls, and then a lot of great coverage.
You guys had them flustered, obviously, in the second half, and then there's the grounding penalty that you were trying to buy from the referees, and they threw that challenge just about on you. What were you saying? What was going on? Describe what was happening there.
Ain't nobody over there. I was like, throw it. I said a lot, but I can't say it in front of the cameras. But, yeah, that was big, and, you know, the rest of the drive, every yard was important, every blade of grass, so it was huge.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny moment. I don't know if the telecast did it justice or not, but what happened was, you know, the Bears are down 21-6 in the third quarter at that point, and Jordan Love throws a ball, and like they did not call the penalty right away. So Jaquan Brisker just starts going crazy, getting in their faces, and then they drop the flag and makes it a 3rd and 20, and they're punting. And like I said, Bears had to be perfect. So in that moment, I mean, I wrote that down in my notes. That's a big play. Ask Brisker about it.
You know what else is big, Grody? When it's 3rd and 5, I think it was, and they call a timeout. How do you call a timeout in a game this big and come out of the timeout and get a delay of game penalty to move now your field goal back 5 yards, which is probably why they missed the field goal that was so big late in the game? You know why? Because the fans made a difference.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about the crowd and the crowd noise compared to previous games this year at Soldier Field, but I could feel it not even being there. And you had Al Michaels, who's seen some games. I think he said this was his 35th game that he had called at Soldier Field, and he said it was the loudest he had ever heard it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, it's easy to get captured in the moment, and I would have to, you know, having been to Bears games since the 90s and having been to a lot of big Bears games as a reporter and just as a fan before I was doing any of this, I'd have to really think about the loudest moments or the loudest games. Remember what they did in the 80s too. So it's sometimes when I hear that, I feel like it's like it kind of heat of the moment, little hyperbole going on, but the atmosphere was it was very loud. There were, you know, I think maybe why I'm hesitating a little bit is as loud and as rocking as it got quiet here.
Well, it was quiet for a long time, right?
A long time, man. it was freaking me out because it's just like just a build up to everything. And then all of a sudden there's just this massive decrescendo. Like everybody came down at once.
Were there boos at all?
No, I did not catch any boos.
Okay, I wasn't sure. That's what I knew you would know better than me.
Yeah.
But honestly, Grody, I thought Jordan Love would outplay Caleb Williams in this game. He did not. Caleb Williams showed up, and I know he didn't show up in the first half like people wanted him to, people being me. I am people in this instance.
You are people.
But 361 yards, 2 touchdowns. We already talked about how the 2 interceptions did not bother me because of the circumstances and the context of the 2 picks.
Yeah.
He outplayed Jordan Love. And just like Caleb Williams had his chances at the end of the first 2 games, Jordan Love has had his chance at the end of this game and couldn't make it happen against a – I'm being kind here when I say much maligned Bears defense.
Much maligned is the truth. There's no doubt about it. And by the way, Marshall, I want you to be thinking about who you want to give your game ball to. Okay. Okay. You know the drill. All 3 of us will give out a game ball. If I'm feeling in a good mood, I'll let you go first when we do that. But first, one final piece of tape. We're going to go ahead and play it the way it came in context, in the locker room. And it's Kevin Byard talking about all the talk that was going on this week. And there was a little skirmish, a little kerfuffle in the middle of the field before the game that Kevin Byard will be asked about. And I will try to fill in some of the blanks on that after you hear from Kevin Byard right now.
There's a lot of shit talking this week. You know what I mean? Like, and not even just today, like throughout the week, like we heard the noise. We heard the noise from Christian Watkins and Keyshawn Nixon, all the guys talking shit. Even the D.C. was kind of talking about telling the media in Green Bay that we're going to see you next week. So we heard that loud and clear. And like I said, man, just a hell of a win for this city.
It had something to do with the scuffle in the middle of the field. I know that they huddled up out there. What happened? What did you see?
I'm not sure exactly what happened. You know, we always do it like our punt the ball, and then we kind of break it down. And I just kind of looked over and kind of see everybody's kind of getting into it. So we ran over there to defend our guys. But that's just this rivalry. You know what I mean? That's just what it is. Green Bay versus Chicago. But nah, man, hell of a win today.
Hey, how did they handle that? I assume television picked that up, right? They had to have, like, before the game started. Did they show that? For people who don't know, before the game, I want to say maybe 20 minutes before the game, the Green Bay Packers were kind of gathering at the middle of the field, and I think some Bears players took exception to that. So there was and like both teams' rosters both all flooded to the middle, a little bit of pushing and shoving. Nothing got out of control really, and things were, you know, order was restored relatively quickly, but it was quite a moment. So what was your reaction to all that, Marshall?
It's the same reaction I had all week long. Bring it. I love it. Add more to the rivalry. Yes. This rivalry. Did you see the handshake after the game?
No, tell me.
The handshake after the game, it was so quick. And like Matt LaFleur is walking like a normal person across the field to go like meet for the handshake. Yeah. And as he's walking, here comes kind of on a beeline at an angle, Ben Johnson, and he comes and he kind of dips down low for the handshake and just like, ha ha, and is off. Like before, like they didn't even speak. It was just a handshake and go. And he heard the noise. And then when he did, and I know you haven't heard it yet, the good, better, best.
Yeah.
He starts it off in the video with F the Packers. And he didn't start with the letter F. He went all four letters for that one.
Holy. Oh, this. Okay.
It's at a ballistic level. And so, yes, they heard. I mean, think about it. What we heard Keyshawn Nixon say, oh, we definitely want the Packers. Like, out of all the teams, he said the Packers, we definitely want the Bears. Like, the Bears, who cares if they're the number two seed? That's the team we want. We know we can beat them. They had beaten them once. They felt like they got robbed in the second game because of the onside kick situation and the blown lead. And all they proved in this game is that they can't hold on to a lead.
No,
they can't hold on to a lead.
No, I mean, I saw the reports that LaFleur's job is safe and all that, and I'm sure it is. And ultimately, he probably deserves to keep his job just because of what he has done. And I know it's been a rocky year, but that was pretty bad. That's okay. Like for the people in Green Bay and Milwaukee and Madison and wherever they're talking Packers and Wisconsin, I'd understand if they were pissed at their head coach. And you brought it up earlier in the podcast, too.
So I love where this rivalry is right now. I think it truly is the greatest rivalry in professional sports. They've got the history in terms of the length of the rivalry, right? They've got how close these games end up being. Even when Green Bay was dominating, the games would still be nail biters, right?
Yeah.
And now over the last two years, the Bears are 3-2 against the Packers. And you have the feeling that this rivalry ain't going anywhere.
No. Well said, man. And one more thing I wanted to add to you. You're filling me. I actually, like, as we're doing this podcast, I have yet to hear what Ben Johnson said, because as a reporter, you got to make your choices. So I spent a lot of time in the locker room. You know that. I'm just explaining that to our audience.
I knew that. And that's why I made sure I listened to Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, because I knew I might have to fill in the gaps for you.
Yeah. And now it makes sense to me, because I didn't hear the good, better, best stuff yet. I haven't even seen that. I'm sure it's all over social media right now. But him saying F the Packers, did he use F or did he use the full word?
He used the full word.
So this makes so much sense now. As I walked into the locker room, there were a couple of Bears starting players who were saying, and you never know if players are messing with you or whatever. They're like, hey, if you guys want a story, when they call you guys down to talk to the head coach, make sure you're there. Make sure you talk to him, because he obviously, like, the smoke was, you could still feel it in the locker room. And we don't get to be in the locker room doing good, better, best, but you could feel a vibe. So the smoke was still in there. And they were basically, I think now in hindsight, that's what they were saying, that, oh man, Ben was on one today.
No, he was on one. And the Bears, this game, the fact that they became the fourth team all time, teams trailing by 15 points in the fourth quarter of a postseason game were 3 wins and 158 losses before this game. The Bears become the fourth team to win a game in playoff history when down by 15 points in the fourth quarter. Also,
NFL teams to score 25 points in the fourth quarter and overtime of playoff games, there's now two. There's the Bears, and there's a Patriots team that came back on the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, some of this just improbable, but
the only bad news is, of course, did you hear about the injuries? Ozzie Trapillo and TJ Edwards out for the season.
Yeah, yep. I'm glad you brought that up, man. And yeah, the TJ Edwards obviously was, it looks scary. I mean, like, you know, they bring out the carts more often now in football for things that, you know, are not as debilitating as maybe that they used to be. But yeah, that one just non-football. He wasn't hit. Like the injury occurred before the hit, right? I mean,
broken fibula for him.
Oh,
and
man.
So he's going to be done and probably going into next year and everything else. Off-season workouts. Ozzie Trapillo, it's a patellar. And the good news is, because of the way the season's gone, they have great depth there. I thought DeMarco Jackson did a fantastic job in the second half and being kind of the aggressive guy that Dennis Allen needed to do what they were going to do and trying to make adjustments. And then obviously Theo Benedet has played left tackle, and they just got back another left tackle in Braxton Jones. So it feels like the Bears are going to have a chance, even though they had two horrific injuries, one on each side of the ball.
New year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps, plus fries, and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Good morning, crust. It's a great day to be a bread brother.
Ugh, mornings are not my jam. Or jelly.
Oh, come on. Stop loafing around.
I just woke up feeling hollow inside.
Just grab one of the new Morning Uncrustables sandwiches, like Bright Eyed Berry or Up an Apple, filled with 12 grams of protein and tons of deliciousness. Crust, what are you eating?
It's just granola, not even yogurt.
No crust, no fuss. Uncrust your mornings.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate the nugget and filling us in or giving the exacts on those injuries. I appreciate that. And just for that work, and let's bring in our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, because I'm curious as to how he took this game in. Marshall, you will get the first crack here at giving out a game ball. Why don't you go first, and Studs, after that, I'll let you give yours and more if you would like, whatever is on your mind. So Mr. Marshall Harris of the Raheemy Harris and Grody Show, so kind to fill in for Dan Weeder tonight, who is, as I like to say, typing his little fingers off over here in the press box at Soldier Field, which is where I am right now. What you got, Mars?
I've never had an easier decision to make ever. Because okay. This dude did things that have not been done. Colston Loveland.
Yeah.
Eight catches.
Yeah.
137 yards.
Okay.
That's the second most receiving yards in a game by a rookie tight end in NFL history. Point blank. Also setting Bears records for receiving yards in a game, playoff receiving yards for a tight end. He was absolutely phenomenal tonight. And without him, they don't win this game. Without his ability to create mismatches and give Caleb a chance to make big plays down the field, they don't win this game. It's Colston Loveland for me. What a way to burst onto the scene. I think they said only Travis Kelce has had more yards in a game.
Oh, man.
Not Travis Kelce. That's a lie. It's Gronk. It's
Gronk. Okay.
So that's the immediate comparison.
He's been absolutely incredible. Game ball for Colston Loveland. That's perfect. Studs, what you got, buddy?
Oh my God, guys.
You okay? You all right?
Are you doing all right, Studs? I was thinking about you.
I'm fine. Listen, just a little inside my life, when the Bears won the game, I ran around the house a little bit, and I actually went out on the porch and just screamed Just yelled, like, just yelled into the ether. Like, I didn't know what else to do with myself. I mean, this is an all-timer. I mean, this is wow. I mean, wow. I mean, this is one. Right. This is one you take with you for the rest of your. I mean, this is jeez. Okay, but game ball game. Caleb Williams. Okay. I am done trying to pretend that Caleb Williams is anything other than a fucking star. He is this kid. After everything we've seen him do this year, he's a star. The Bears have a star quarterback. Think about that. Like, the Bears have a star quarterback who just came from behind to beat the Packers in a playoff game. Caleb Williams is a blocked field goal away from beating the Packers four times in five tries. Think about that, guys. Like, this guy is a star. He is a star. And I'm not going to talk about him in any other form than a fucking star. That's all he
it.
Is.
I love it.
That's my game ball, Caleb Williams.
I love it.
You know, I apologize to Dion Miller for the, for the swearing, because I know she won't like that. She's but yeah, we can swear in this podcast. So yeah.
Right. I mean, Byard already set the table for us, dropping a few swears.
The first two words out of his mouth.
I know. Hey, man. Hey, the Bears won a playoff game. This is their seventh playoff win since 1985. If you're acting differently, if we don't know really how to express ourselves properly at this moment or appropriately, please forgive us.
I was in college. I was at Western Illinois University the last time the Bears won a playoff game.
Yeah.
I was sitting in my living room in my house in college. Like, I just realized that. Like, it's been that long.
This is big deal stuff. Jeez. This is big deal, big boy stuff that's going on for the Bears. And by the way, guys, just as we're doing this podcast, I'm still at Soldier Field and just looking out at the beautiful empty stadium with the lights still on and some of the workers out there breaking things down. The snow is back. It's this nice wafting snow right now towards the south end zone. What a scene it was here before the game started. Unfortunately, the game started, the snow stopped, but it got hard. Like, the snow was like sticking. It was like this. It was like a Soldier Field blizzard going on, and then it quickly dissipated. And then when the game started, we did not have snow. But man, the scene before the game was amazing, and the game lived up to it as well. My game ball, guys, great game balls by both of you guys. I'm going with Colston Loveland as well. I usually try to back off of my choice if somebody beats me to it, just for the sake of conversation. He's so fun to watch. So fun to watch. One of the advantages of being at the game and, you know, looking over the field is you get to see the plays develop. You get to see the whole route being run by Colston Loveland. And he is a pleasure to watch run routes and to get open and get that separation and make the play, the explosive plays that he continues to make. And Marshall already mentioned it, the 8 catches for 137 yards. Studzinski was very adamant that Caleb Williams is a bleeping star. I think Colston Loveland is a bleeping star in the making as well, if not already. Obviously, who knows what'll happen in this next game, but I already cannot wait to see what that guy does, what Colston Loveland does, the Bears' leading receiver this year, what that man does from the time the Bears meet for OTAs and begin next season, what he becomes, because they might just have themselves a superstar right there in Colston Loveland. So two Lovelands, one Caleb. There's so much more to talk about with this game. Just very much just scratch the surface so far. Marshall and I will be talking about it a ton on Raheemy Harrison Grody. You know that we on Take the North will be talking about it a lot. Who knows? There may be special episodes, bonus episodes. Who knows, Marshall? It's all in play because the Bears won a playoff game, my friend.
I just want to make one last declaration before we get out of here.
Yeah.
This was the biggest night in Chicago sports since the Cubs won the World Series. And let me tell you why. Yes, okay. The playoff drought was broken. But at the same time, Connor Bedard came back and played his second game, and the Blackhawks shut out the Predators 3-0. The Bulls ran all over the Mavericks and got the win. And then you get a notification sometime in the game that Alex Bregman has agreed to a 5-year, $175 million deal with the Cubs. Everything's pointing in the right direction for the city of Chicago after we're coming out of our arguably darkest sports time ever.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You are right, man. And when that Bregman news came, there was a rumble. There was a rumble in the press box. Come on. I mean, everybody up here, a lot of people follow a lot of sports. We're all seasoned veteran. We like seeing that breaking news as much as anybody. So that is something else we'll be talking about on Rahimi Harris and Grody once Monday hits. And I cannot wait to reunite with you and Layla for that. And Mars, seriously, man, this is a hard ask. It is late right now as we are recording this podcast. Seriously, man, thank you for doing it and doing it at a high level. You didn't phone it in.
I was up anyway, and then I had to listen to all the sound and do all the stuff because I didn't want to do it tomorrow. So I was like, let me do that tonight, and I'll stay up and talk to Grody and Studs.
Oh, you're the goods, man. That is the one and only Marshall Harris. I appreciate you so much, man. Thanks to everybody. For our guy, Dan Wiederer, as well, who I'm just looking, he's got the pen over the ear right now. He looks very focused right now. For our guy, Dan Wiederer, for our executive producer, Adam Stadzinski, for Marshall Harris, I am Mark Grody saying thank you so much for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.